somebody, and he referred to CEO Christians. And I had not heard that expression until about a month ago. And he explained that means Christmas, Easter only, CEO Christians. So I don't like that kind of CEO kind of people. So I hope you're not one of those. Glad you're in church today and trust that the message will be a blessing to your heart. Let's pause for a word of prayer. Our gracious Lord, we're thankful for the Word of God. We're thankful that you're alive and well. We're thankful for the season of the year when we recall the gift of your Son into the world for us. We're thankful that God so loved the world that he gave. And we are all the beneficiaries. We're sitting here today because of our faith in Christ and our belief that you have been good to humanity and good to us in a special way through the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus, on the cross. We ask now that as we highlight some features of the Christmas story, that you would be with us and guide our thoughts and grant, Lord, by your Spirit, growth in our lives. Thank you for the privilege of being under your word. So bless these next moments. Give us good attention. Help us to progress and to grow the way you want. In Jesus' name, amen. It's Christmas time. The most wonderful time of the year. It's hard not to be happy at Christmas. In fact, thoughts of Christmas for most of us are filled with nostalgia, memories of the wonder and surprise on our face. And now we anticipate the same with our own children, seeing them light up with surprise at a gift or just the warmth of the fireside with family at Christmas. Christmas is a family time. I think it's fitting then that we see the first Christmas, how central the family was. In Luke chapter 2, I'm just going to pick out a verse from the Christmas story. In fact, it'll be on the screen for you. Luke chapter 2, verse number 6 says, "And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger." How interesting that is. At the very first Christmas, we find a family. We find Mary, Joseph, and a little baby. That set my mind on a little road trip of thinking about God and the centrality of the role of the family throughout human history. Humor me for just a moment. Let's step out of the Christmas story and let's just talk about how central family is to God's story that he's writing over human history. Let's go all the way back to creation. And I want to remind you that at creation, God started or culminated his creative work with two people, Adam and Eve, through whom would come several children, Cain and Abel and Seth and others as well. And so family played a central role in the creation story. Then we kind of fast forward to the New Testament, and we're going to pick up God's story, his second great work in human history, was the work of salvation or redemption. So let's bring that slide up. And we have Mary and Joseph and a tiny baby at the center of God's plan to bring redemption to the world. Central to God's plan, not only at creation, but now at salvation. Then if we can fast forward in time, so we're moving in our minds from creation to redemptive history and salvation. Now we're going to reach into the future and look at the consummation of the ages when God finishes his work on earth. And we know it's going to happen because everything God said in the past happened, and he's told us about the future, and the future involves the consummation. And what are we all waiting for? We're waiting for the return of Christ so that he can catch his bride away. And so we go into heaven and we celebrate the marriage supper of the Lamb. And all of God's children from all the ages are part of God's one eternal family. I mean, isn't that what we believe? Isn't the gospel about making you part of God's family? And here it is in the Christmas story, family is central. But you know what? Family's been central throughout human history to what God is doing. So how sinister the devil to try to sneak into our country and countries around the world and undermine the family. Because by undermining the family, he's undermining the work of God throughout the ages. I think God knew that babies do best in families with a mommy and a daddy. That's exactly the kind of family he wanted his son in. Boy, I could preach a whole little mini sermon right now about how important the family is. But that isn't. That was just extra. I want to go right back into the Christmas story. And I want to pick up the members of the Christmas family with you. And so for the next three Sundays, we're going to look at Mary and Joseph. And we're going to look at the babe. And we're going to do it in that order because that's the order the scripture gives us. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 16, they, speaking of the shepherds, came with haste and found Mary. Mary's listed first. Isn't that peculiar? In my family, I'm almost always, it's Pastor Mike and Christina. She comes second. But here, she's listed first. It isn't the only time. If you look over at Matthew's gospel, that also gives us some nativity narrative. We find that Joseph is defined as Mary's husband. Kind of backward, you know. This is my wife. That's how we do it in our culture. But no, this is Mary's husband. That's the way. That's that way on purpose because Jesus is Joseph's son in a surrogate way by adoption, if you will. But he's not the son. He's not the father by natural processes. He is a supernatural. Jesus does a supernatural father, and so therefore Mary is listed first. And so our attention is focused on Mary to start the Christmas story. Why Mary? What an interesting woman she is, an amazing woman, a godly woman. And I hope it isn't missed on the young people here. You know, I'm not just some old guy preaching to old people, all right? The truth about the Bible is relevant for every age. So I hope I have the young people's attention here because, you know, Mary, she was probably a teenager. They married a lot younger back then from what we can tell. She may have been somewhere between the ages of 14 and 16. How many in this room are between the ages of 14 and 16? All right? I got one? Two? All right? There's some on the cusp of that. All right, so we don't know exactly her age. It's not... Some of the rest of us want to raise our hands. We wish we had our 50-year-old brain and we could put it back into our teenage body. Wouldn't you like that? That would be a gem. That doesn't happen that way. But she's a teenager. But she demonstrates unusual godliness about her. Godliness that all of us, whatever our age, should emulate. So that's what the message is about. I want to give you three stellar marks of Mary's life that caused her... Can I say it this way, to be merry at Christmas? And if we adopt those same kind of marks or traits, we can keep our Christmas merry. So there's a little play on words here, all right? If you want to keep your Christmas merry, you need to have more merry in your Christmas. But merry is spelled two different ways. Look at your outline if you need help, all right? So if I want to stay merry at Christmas, I need more merry in my Christmas. So what is merry like at Christmas? I think this is an exceptional thing for us to consider. Three traits. Number one, the outstanding feature of Mary is her submissiveness. Now, I don't want you to take this the wrong way. This isn't another message on how women need to submit to their husbands. That isn't the point of this. I'm talking about an attitude. I'm talking about a character trait. In fact, the Bible teaches in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 21 that we're to submit ourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. Everybody, every Christian, every person ought to have a submissive attitude. But Mary really stands out this way. The angel comes to her, and it's already been read to you by Sal in the service, and it gives her special news. Unexpected news, you're going to have a baby and you're not even married yet. Okay, let's read about that. Let's go to Luke chapter 1 and look at a couple verses. It's verses 30 and 31, Luke chapter 1. Are you there? The Bible says in verse 30, "And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus." Now, that's unusual. In fact, it even causes Mary to ask in the following verses, "Now, how can this be, seeing I do not know," meaning intimately, "a man? How can this even happen?" God answers her question. The angel responds and says, the power of the highest is going to come upon you, verse 35. Now here's her response. Look at it, verse number 38. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Mary offered herself as the Lord's vessel willingly. That is really incredible. The word handmaid here is the word doule, part of doulos. Some of you know what that Greek word means. It means slave. I am the slave of the Lord, whatever he wants. Now don't forget, this is a teenager saying this. This is a young person. She isn't waiting to grow up to be faithful to God or committed to God. She's committed right now, and she's all in. Can I use that expression? I like that. You ever get all into something? You know, in the summertime when it's really hot, I get all into the swimming pool. I'm in both feet, head, hands, the whole bit. It all gets soaked. That's what I mean by all in. She's all in to whatever God's doing. She's submissive to his will. We could use the word humble. We could use the word committed, but she's just all in. And would to God there were more people who were all in to God's agenda for their life, even at this season of the year, at Christmas, if we could emulate a characteristic about Mary, being humble, submissive, committed, all in would be a trait that we could emulate about her. Someone has put it this way, the word handmaid means a permanent relation of servitude. That is, one's will being swallowed up in the will of another. You know, Mary didn't consider her own welfare. She let herself be swallowed up into the grand purpose of God. Verse number 38 goes on and says, but unto me, be it according to thy word. I like this. She would do all that God said, the way that God said, and she wouldn't line item veto what God said. I don't know about you, but I like to line item veto. All right, God, I'm good with this and this, but this part, could we just adjust that or modify that or speed that up a little bit? That's just too long for me to wait. That's what we would do, but not her. Be it unto me according to thy word, just the way you said. One of my friends on the shelf writes it this way. Mary gives entire submission to the word of God, thus revealed to her. She does not calculate her advantage or the possible danger or slander that might be her lot. She embraces the will of God wholeheartedly. So to put it in the vernacular, Mary said, Lord, whatever you want, I'm all in. Do we really get this? All right, ladies, let me make this more personal. All right, I want you to rewind in the recesses of your mind back to the day you got married. The days leading up to you got married. All right, this is wedding day planning is going on. This is my wedding planning mug. All right? You see that? What'd you do in your wedding plan? You talked to your friends. You got your mom to help. You were at the stores visiting, and you were looking at patterns of dresses. You were trying to get just the right dress to work. And you wanted just the right napkins. It had to be the right cups. It had to be right color. It had to be right size. The mints had to taste good or they weren't going to be served. All the details had to be figured out because it was going to be your wedding day. And you really only get, Lord willing, one shot at that day. And you want it to be just right. And so all these plans go in. Now let's just assume for something that you've done all this planning. You've been planning for 6 months for your wedding. You've got all your ducks in the row. The photographer's going to come. The caterer's supposed to arrive. The room has been rented. The wedding chapel is set. The preacher is picked. And all that's ready to go. And then you find out something that you didn't expect. All right, the dress won't be done in time. Or your family that you wanted to be there can't make it because of an illness. Or something has gone awry and you can't even have the wedding at the place you wanted because they've double booked and now you need to find a new place. Now, if you can start getting some of the agony or the angst that you would feel about that, then you can start to feel the way Mary might feel at this time, because she would be like, we are betrothed and Joseph and I were getting married in May. The date has already been picked. And now God just enters the picture and God says, plan B, this is what I want to go with. So the wedding has to be moved up. And when the wedding does happen, she'll already be a little plump in the tummy. All right? And there's not supposed to be a honeymoon because Joseph isn't supposed to know her until after the baby. But this is just, do you get the idea? This is just a little bit out there. And you know what she says? Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. Can we just be good with God's will the way he wants us to do it? Can we just adjust to what he wants us to do? You know, I really think that we have a bigger problem with submission to God than we think we do. And if truth were told, we would have issues. And it really is stellar. It is really stunning the way Mary stands out here and says, okay, whatever your plans are, I'm good with that. This happens all the time. God is intervening in our lives, maybe not on the scale of Mary, but he does change our plans. He gives us a flat tire, you know, at the wrong time. We've got to be somewhere, or he sends an illness we haven't planned on, or the pet gets sick and has to be put down this month. Not in December. This is Christmas. I should be happy. God, you're not working on the right calendar here. Do you see what I'm saying? We have issues where God's adjusting us and we're not very submissive with it. Well, that wasn't in my plans. That wasn't my Christmas idea. That's not the way I want. Or heaven forbid, car passes by, pulls up to your house, wonder who that is. Out steps some of your family and says, surprise. We just happened to be passing on our way to California and thought we'd just pop in and see you for a couple days. That'd be all right. God has a way of adjusting our plans all the time. So I just want to, how submissive are you with that? How obedient are you? Mary was all in. Not an issue. She would adjust the way God asked her to adjust. So if God would ask you to something big of you this Christmas, would you say, look, God, I'm your servant. Whatever you want, I'm all in. If truth be told, we're a lot less submissive than we would like to admit. Hey, let me go back to the teens for a while. I don't mean to pick on you, but it's right in the message. All right? If you're a young person, you don't have to be a teen. You're 10, right? I got a 10-year-old, almost 12-year-old, and a 14-year-old. Right down the row here. So I got some teens or almost teens. Right, there's a teen back there, I see it. Some other young people. Right? Noah, you're almost a teen. All right? So you need to listen to this. Here's Mary. She's a young woman. And she's saying, okay, God, whatever big plans you have for me, I'm good with that. You know, I think God has big plans for every young person in this room. It's not necessarily give birth to the Christ child. That's already happened. But God does have big plans for you. He may want you to go to Bible college. He may want you to be in ministry. Sal mentioned an interest in ministry when he was up speaking a little bit ago. Maybe he wants you to use your music for the Lord. Maybe he wants you to be a teacher like Sal is in the schools and represent and find opportunities to get the gospel into the classroom when you can. I think God does have big plans for people. And I just wonder, young person, do you have the attitude to say, I'm willing, I'm in, I'll do that. Whatever God wants, I'm okay with that. I think that's the most successful way to live. It's the most exciting way to live because you never know how the pages are going to turn in God's adventure. But make yourself available the way Mary did. Be all in. There's a second characteristic I think is stunning about Mary. Not just that she is submissive or humble, willing to do what God asked her to do. She is also highly flexible. You know, she knows the art of bending without breaking. That's an unusual skill. It's a skill of a godly person to bend and adjust. I see this in Luke chapter 2. You're real close by. If you're in Luke 1, just look over a page or turn a page. We're going to read about this because, you know, I think about this. When God gives her the news about a baby, pretty soon things begin to happen. Her tummy swells entirely by supernatural processes. And there are a lot of issues going on for a first-time mom. Some of them were definitely going on for Mary, but on top of that, she's got this pregnancy by supernatural processes. She's put on the back of a donkey for an 80-mile travel trip in the last month of her pregnancy. How fun can that be? And when she finally dismounts in Bethlehem, and her husband says, we aren't going any further, He says to her, "I found this, honey, I found a place. It's out with the sheep. You're going to like it. The smell is a little bit to get over, but after that, it's a really nice place." And you know what? I think Mary's got some grit and flexibility. This certainly had not, this would not be a first-time mom's ideal place to give birth to a baby. All right? Let's read about this. This is Luke chapter 2, verse number 4. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea under the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. So they get there. There's no room for them in the inn. You know the story. There's some kind of stable. We don't know. Some people believe it was a cave behind the inn. It may have been some other kind of stable. But she's out with the animals. And Joseph, a first-time dad, he's got to be frustrated. Have you ever rode into a town late at night, tried to get a motel and all the rooms are taken? How frustrating is that? And then, you know, his wife is on the verge of labor, and he can't find her an appropriate place. And how embarrassed must she be to labor of all places in a stable? She has got some unusual grit about her. Verse number 7, or 6 rather, "And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." She is incredibly flexible. She just have to make the best of less than the best of circumstances. And I wonder if there's not a lesson for us here, because godly people learn the grace of bending rather than breaking under difficult circumstances. Let's talk about holiday travel. That requires a great deal of flexibility. Let's bring that picture up. Flexibility. There we are. Tell you a story. This is just not even a month after Joshua was born, so that was almost 14 years ago, Christmas of 2002. And boy, new mom, new dad for the very first time. Boy, we were excited. And then my wife said, "Let's take the baby back to show our parents." This was kind of he was born on November the 22nd. Christmas is not just a month later. After he's born, she says, "Let's go back." She has this little gift she wants to show everybody. This is not wise, trying to buy tickets in December. So we're hunting for tickets, and they're not good times, and they're not good rates. Finally, we find some tickets, and they're to go out a couple days before Christmas. But they're more money than I wanted to shell out. I said, "Honey, let's wait another day and see if we can get better rates." We went in the next day, those tickets were gone. You know, and then the blood pressure starts going up. You know how that is. You've been there. And so we found another tickets. They were a little bit cheaper, about the same amount. I can't remember exactly now. We grabbed those tickets. But they had us flying on Christmas Eve, and we would be arriving late, like 9 or 10, I believe, on Christmas Eve. So we had the choice when we booked the flights. We could go through Minneapolis or St. Louis. I weighed out snow and ice and storms and thought I would go with St. Louis. How many of you would have go with St. Louis? All right, I picked St. Louis. How many of you would have chosen Minneapolis? All right, you would have been safer going through Minneapolis. They didn't get any snow, but Christmas Eve day, St. Louis got pounded. Our plane was late taken off. When we finally got there, this was not a good sign. Let's bring up the next photo. All right? When you see these creatures out on the runway, you know you're not in a good situation. So we landed, but because of the storm, we had to wait for more of it to get beyond Indianapolis, which was our destination, before they let our plane take off. So we finally get in Indianapolis, and it's late at night. In fact, it's not Christmas Eve anymore. It's Christmas morning after midnight. It's in the wee hours. Bless their hearts.
Dad and Mom Kroot were there to meet us and see the new little baby. Flexibility. I know a little bit about, I bet you can tell me your own stories about holiday travel not quite going the way you expect. That's certainly the case with Mary. Holiday travel hadn't quite worked out the way she planned either, but it was God's plan for her, and she was flexible. I think it takes flexibility to stay Mary at Christmas because you don't know what's coming. I mentioned earlier your in-laws could just show up from out of town and say, we're here for a couple days. But there are all kinds of things that could happen to kind of stir our circumstances a little bit. A loved one could have a medical emergency. Someone could have a financial emergency and that strap your funds this month. There are all kinds of things that God could do. And so critical for us, if we're going to keep the Mary in our Christmas, we have to be flexible. One way then, or two ways that we've learned now to keep our Christmas Mary would be submissive spirit to God's will and flexibility with God's plans. There's a third characteristic of Mary that I'd like to show you, and then I'll be through. As I think over all that happened to her, she's not only submissive and flexible with God's plan for her, great characteristics for all of us, but she's also thoughtful. So let's bring up the next one. This is in Luke chapter 2, verse 19. Would you look there with me? Luke 2 and verse number 19. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. The word ponder here suggests the idea that she's piecing together the various parts, almost like a jigsaw puzzle, and she's arranging them and putting them together. She's giving thought to what's gone on. What things might she be thinking about? What do you think? Do you think she's thinking back to that angel showing up at her home one afternoon and saying, you're going to have a baby even though you're not married? I think that was one of the parts. I think that's one of the puzzle pieces. Oh, and then Joseph has a dream, and he tells her about the dream that an angel came and said it was okay to marry. And so I think that's another puzzle piece that we put in here. I think the supernatural conception and how that all, you know, and what happens in the pregnancy. I think we can put that piece in there. Oh, and then shepherds show up. Do you remember that part? I'm not reading the whole Christmas story, but you know it, right? Shepherds come and she's cogitating. Shepherds come to a stable so that they can worship somebody in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. That's another puzzle piece we got to put in there. And she's taking all those and she's fitting them all together in her mind, and she's coming to some conclusions about some things. I think it's all pointing her in the direction of the fact that her son is divine, that this is supernatural, that this is out of the ordinary. We know that this is her character because later in Luke chapter 2, verse 51, she's found Jesus with her husband when he's 12 years old teaching in the temple. And guess what she's doing again? Kept all these sayings in her heart. She's thinking about it. She likes to... The shepherds, what do they want to do? They want to go out door to door, pray. Hey, got good news. Baby born. It's the Messiah. God showed us. Angels came. You know, they're telling the whole story. Mary, she's more reflective. She's more meditative. She's treasuring these ideas in her heart, putting all the pieces together, and maybe having a quiet word of worship to the Lord there. But I'm pretty confident that Mary never forgot the details. I bet if I asked any lady in this room to give me the details of the birth of their children, they could give me the sagas of everyone. I know my wife can. The labor was this long. This one hurt worse than the other one. All that stuff, she can tell you. I bet most of the ladies, you never forget the details. All right? I don't think Mary ever forgot the details. And you know why? Let's talk about the book of Luke for a minute. Luke is the one that records Mary pondering all these things in her heart. How did Luke know about Mary, Joseph, and the babe? How did he find out about what the angels said to the shepherds and that the fact that the shepherds arrived at the stable? There is great probability, Luke is a historian. He writes his gospel probably later than Mark or Matthew, probably came first. Luke, being a historian, he goes back and he tracks down people. And he may have either talked directly with Mary or to someone in Mary's family who gave all the details. And how did he have them to write? Mary never forgot them. She soaked them in and then she shared them with others. Point of application, you know the details of the Christmas story. Do you soak them in, treasure those words, and then share them with others? That's what Mary did. Otherwise, we wouldn't have them. How critical, then, to get to the true meaning of Christmas. Is this our next slide? I hope it is. Because this is where my mind is. Oh, good. My mind is working right today. It's right where the slides are. So, Christmas, she's cogitating on all the pieces, and she's putting them together, and she's coming out with the true meaning. You're going to call his name Jesus. And did she ever get to the true meaning? We're pretty confident that she did, based on Luke chapter 1, verse 47. It's coming up on the screen. Luke 1, 47. And I rejoice, my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. She got it right. Let me ask you to listen today. Are you a child of God? You know about Christmas, but Christmas is about Jesus. Have you put the pieces together in your mind? Have you come out to the right conclusion about what Christmas really means and who Jesus is? I mean, it would be terrible to go all the way through Christmas and miss the real meaning. The real meaning is that God sent this Son and He's given you all these indicators. This virgin birth, the shepherds proclaim it, the angels speaking. Now, this doesn't happen with most babies. It didn't happen with any of mine. And so it's designed to push you to the right conclusion. The same conclusion that Mary reached. That God is my Savior. Is God your Savior? All right, God is not your Savior just because you go to church or just because you attended Sunday school. God is your Savior only if you asked Him. I remember asking the Lord to be my Savior, and I know that because I have, things are set between me and God. Do you know things are set between you and God? Have you put the pieces together about Christmas, come to the right conclusion, and believe God to be your Savior? Maybe some of you are at that point. I know that everybody in this room is not a believer. I know some of you are still cogitating, thinking about it. And I would want to invite you to take Jesus as your Savior. That's it. God wants to be your Savior. So give it some thought. Look at the evidence and believe that the sweet little Jesus boy who came for you so that you could one day go to God. Sweet little Jesus boy. Popular Negro spiritual, sung at this time of the year, was written by Robert McGimsey back in 1932. He was attending church in New York City, a Christmas service. When he left the service, it was in the evening, and he began to walk back to his one-bedroom apartment. And on his way, he was passing various nightclubs along the way. And he noticed the people in the loud music and the partying going on. In front of some of the clubs, people were passed out on the ground. I believe it was Christmas Eve. So he's, according to his story, stepping over bodies on the sidewalk, trying to get home to his apartment on Christmas Eve. And as he's walking, he's thinking and he's pondering in his mind, these people who are partying have no idea what Christmas really means. They have no idea what the season is about and of the perfect one who came. So it gets his mind to thinking, and when he walks through the door of his apartment, he sits down and he starts writing some words on an envelope. Sweet little Jesus boy, didn't know who you was. Sweet little Jesus boy, come to take away our sins. Let me grab the rest of the words because they're not coming back to my mind right now. Sweet little Jesus boy, they made you be born in a manger. Sweet little holy child, didn't know who you was. Didn't know you'd come to save us, Lord, to take our sins away. Our eyes was blind, we couldn't see. We didn't know who you was. You know, that story is true of people in 2016 America, and maybe it's even true of you. You're singing about sweet little Jesus boy, and you don't know who he is. He is the Savior. Mary is pointing in that way. And she's calling all of us to think the same way. If you want to keep your Christmas merry, you need to be more merry at your Christmas. Did you get it? Be more merry this Christmas. Be flexible, submissive, and be thoughtful of the one God sent to save you. Which of these could you add this year? Surely there's something about Mary we could add. Let's bring up the last slide. Something about Mary we can add. Shall we pause for prayer? Father, thank you.